Still Standing is a podcast of hope. My name is Allie Patterson, and I am your host. On this podcast, you're going to hear stories from people who have encountered a living God and found help and hope in their real life. No matter what your life is like right now or what you think of God, I hope you hear stories like yours, and I hope you walk away thinking there's hope for me too. Everyone on this podcast would gladly say it's because of Jesus that I am still standing. Come find out why. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Still Standing. My name is Allie Patterson, and I am your fearless host of this podcast. And today, we're going to do something that's just a little bit different. I've gone through the archives of some old messages that I've given at Crossroads Church, where I'm a regular part of the teaching team. And I have a really special one for you today. This one is very close to my heart. I gave this message a handful of years ago, and it is about laying foundations in your life. And on this podcast, we talk about encountering a living God that can actually kind of get into your messy everyday life. You're a real person. You're living a real life. You need a God that can meet you in the middle of that. And in order to experience him, like for real, every single day, you need the words of Jesus from the parable that we're going to talk about in this teaching today. Jesus actually gives us the secret to connecting with God and building that kind of foundation in your life. And so this message is like near and dear to my heart because it's really the core of my book. I have a book called How to Stay Standing that is entirely based also on the parable, The Wise and Foolish Builder. And when I got out this message and listened to it, I thought, oh my gosh, this is like so the heart of my book as well. I really wanted to share it with you all because it is the truth that we read over and over and over again in the New Testament, in the life of everyone that encounters Jesus, when we connect to him in real relationship and we build a life that's on him. Things work, things stand, things get stronger, things get better. And when we don't, whatever we're building, no matter what it looks like now, it could look stable and wonderful and beautiful. In the end, anything we're building that's not on him is going to fall. And unfortunately, that sounds like super dramatic, but it's exactly what he says in the heart of one of his parables. So I want you to listen. I want you to connect with Jesus and build a life that's truly on him so that you can look forward to whatever is coming. You can like face with strength and confidence and hope that you're connected to him and he will help you to stay standing. So enjoy this from the archives. Rock solid. That's what we want, a life that is rock solid.
Well, hey, everybody, I'm Allie, and we are talking about how to have a well-built life for the next few weeks. And today, we are focused entirely on the foundation on which we build. I can't help, if we're going to talk firm foundations, I can't help but think when we bought the house that we currently live in 5 or 6 years ago, we were handed a packet of materials because the previous owner had to pier the foundation of the house. We live on a big slope, and so they had put piers through the foundation, down through the earth to try to get down below the existing foundation to something stronger. That's what I hope today is for you. I hope that we can drive some piers down into whatever you're standing on today and maybe get closer to the rock that's really down there, Jesus. So that's what he called himself, a rock, and he actually talked about how to have a well-built life. Like, literally hit the nail right on the head. So we are going to spend the entire time looking at a parable he told where he addresses this very thing. Now, it's called the Parable of the Wise and Foolish Builder, but it's important to know how he gave it. He gave it as the conclusion to his famous sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. So he had taken all this time to kind of go through what it looked like to have a life with him, a life in the kingdom of God, and this was his big conclusion. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Today, I want us to hear those words the way that Jesus intended them. I think he wants us to look down. I think that's what he wants us to do today, is look down and see what it is we are really standing on. And anywhere that that's not him, I'm going to give you three rhythms that you could literally start today. And whatever you are standing on will turn to rock. Let me pray for us. Lord, I pray that my words would be true, that they would be your words, that they would be helpful for digging down to stand on you. I ask that each of us would be one step closer to being convinced that there is no rock like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in that parable, Jesus tells us kind of three different things, and we're gonna go through these together today. The first thing he tells us is what's coming for us. And he also tells us how not to build, and luckily he tells us how to build what last, the three rhythms I mentioned, I'm going to take straight out of that parable, straight out of his own words, so that we can build our lives a little bit stronger. But first, we got to be convinced that something's coming for us. Jesus knew this, and the entire parable that he told there is predicated on the idea of a flood, right? He used four words. He said, when a flood came. When a flood came. That doesn't sound like maybe someday in the event that you might face a catastrophic event, you might need something strong. He said, when a flood came, it sounds like a certainty that a flood is gonna come, and not just to one of these guys, it came at both of them. The one building well and the one building without a foundation, they both encountered the same flood. Now, if you're, I don't know, 15 years old in here today or older, you know that the reality is a flood is coming, right? Like Jesus is acknowledging a life that's filled with difficulty, filled with trouble. And I believe his listeners were very keenly aware of what it meant when a flood came, because Jesus didn't grab this out of thin air. He was an amazing teacher. And Jesus knew that their life experience told them exactly what happened when flood came, because they lived in Israel. So I want you to take a look at this map of Israel and notice the water. So there's this big river that runs right down through the middle, and it starts in the north. It's called the Jordan River, and it runs through the Sea of Galilee, which is the small body of water, and it keeps going, almost splitting the country and stripping off into all of these streams and tributaries, and it empties out at the bottom into the Dead Sea. Literally every water source in Israel is impacted by the Jordan River. Every listener listening to Jesus knew a flood was coming, and it wasn't theoretical. Israel has highly predictable patterns of rain, and the Jordan floods every single year. So to be in Israel and to have a teacher say to you when a flood came is really not a someday in the event that you run into trouble kind of thing. It's like saying, you know what's gonna happen, and it's not just gonna happen once, it's gonna happen over and over and over and over again. Jesus was trying to get into their head this idea that our lives have to be able to sustain multiple floods, almost predictable floods. And when I went to Israel, I actually saw the very place that he would have delivered this sermon, on this sort of plateau-like hill overlooking the Sea of Galilee, which was that first sort of lake that the Jordan empties into. And when the Jordan floods, the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee expands. It gets way wider. And so his challenge to them, with their very eyes focused on the Sea of Galilee, was you would never build a house right here on this shoreline without a foundation, knowing in a few months, the rains are gonna come. And you know they're gonna come. And if you haven't built on something stable, then whatever it is that you built in the summer is going down. So this was not theory for them. they were able to draw exactly on their life experience and understand that Jesus was saying life kind of works the same way. The water is going to rise, so why in the world would we build like we forgot where we live? Jesus knew exactly where we live. He knows exactly the kind of sin that infects our world, the kind of difficulty that you're going to face because of your own mistakes and all the people that you live around. The water is going to rise. And I don't know why we sometimes struggle to get this through our head, maybe too many happily ever after tales when we were a kid, but it will not always be summer. And he told us what summer lulls us into, like the hard packed sand that looks like we can just build quicker and faster. I don't know, maybe we don't believe that the flood is coming, or maybe we just don't think it's gonna happen to us. That's probably more like closer to the mindset that I had when I started building a life, and I was literally a case in point for what Jesus says not to do. He says, what does he says about this man? There was one who built a house on the ground without a foundation. That is literally what I did. All house, no foundation. When I was trying to figure out, as we all do, because time goes on, figure out what to do with my life, I went through high school and college and I did all the things. Like if I was gonna make you a list of the things that somebody might recommend that you do to set your life up to like stand strong, I did all the things. I went through high school. I probably would have annoyed you in high school. I was like a nice kid and I got really good grades and I hung out with other nice kids. It's not that I never did anything wrong. I did. Just ask my parents. But as I went through high school, I checked all the boxes. Like I led the things, I did all the stuff. I knew what colleges I should probably have my eye on getting into. So I checked out how to get in and I got into one. And I went to college, and in college, I did all the things. And I got really good grades, and I had my eye on the kind of job that I wanted, and I came out of college, and I got that job. And I even met and married a really nice guy, who, by the way, I'm still married to today, and he's still a really nice guy. And we met and dated through college and got married. And we moved, and we had jobs, and we could support ourselves. And also, we were not standing on any kind of rock. And we just didn't know it. Because we did exactly, like to a T, what the world says you should do to set up your life so that it will not collapse. And I also had some signs. Remember, I told you I live on a house now, at a house now where we live on this sloped yard. And when that house was inspected, when we bought it, we talked to the inspector who looked at the deck that was on the back of our house. And he said, well, for sure, if you live here long enough, the land is going to shift. It's just going to. And you need to watch for signs. And so he told us that the support structure of our deck, he said, you know, under stress and with moving land, it may twist. And he actually showed us one of the poles that indicated that it had already begun to twist a little bit. And he said, just keep your eye on it. It's perfectly sound right now, but over years, you're gonna want, you know, you may wanna have this inspected again if you live here long enough. And the bolts that keep it to the house, they might start to pull off of a little bit. So when you see these signs, it means that the ground is moving. And you're gonna wanna, you know, you're gonna want a structure, maybe a new structure, a different kind of support, because for sure the ground will move. And I had some signs, and I didn't know what they were, and I wouldn't have known what to do with them if I did. When I came out of high school, I was exhausted. I don't even think I would have said that, but I behaved like it in college. When I went to college, I was like, I am not doing any of those things anymore. Like, I'm gonna study, I'm gonna get really good grades and all that because I want the job I want, but I'm exhausted with the check marks. I don't wanna do any of the things anymore. I'm not gonna join that club. I'm not gonna lead anything. I'm exhausted with all that. And I never even bothered to wonder what that indicated, but the ground was shifting. And then when I was in college, I think what I'm about to tell you is kind of close to what happened, but I never even bothered to question it. I think I had a series far enough apart that they weren't super frequent. I think I had a series of like mini anxiety attacks in college. And all I did was like, that was weird. And I moved on. And the ground was shifting. Something could have told me that whatever I was building on was not going to last. And I can tell you what I was building on. I was building on me. And I found out real fast and real hard in my 20s that I wasn't strong enough to hold up my own life. I remember the day I was at work at the job that I wanted. We moved to Cincinnati. That was where we moved when we got married and started our life together. And we moved here to Cincinnati. We both had jobs. We both, you know, we could pay our bills and all that, but we had no family, no friends, no community, no church, no idea how to be an adult. We just started doing it like you do. And I remember leaving work one day, like in the middle of the day, I was like, I gotta get out of here for a second. And I ran down the escalator and I went out around to the back of the parking garage and kind of like slinked down to the back of the parking garage and put my head in my hands. And I feel like I remember that moment because I felt like my whole life was collapsing and I had no idea how to fix it. I was 24 years old. My marriage was burning to the ground. I had a career that I wanted and it wasn't very good for me. It encouraged all kinds of toxic stuff in me and in my life and in my relationships, which were also suffering around me. And we still had no community. I guess we could pay our bills. I know that I was getting exactly what the parable said. If you build without a foundation, all house, no stone, you're going down. And now I almost look back on that time and I'm almost grateful for it in a weird way because I think sometimes you could lose decades like that. If anything, at least it was hard and fast. And we started to figure out like our life is not as well set up as we thought and we didn't really even know why. But now I know why. Because I wish I could tell you it was just about knowing Jesus. I wish I had this nice little story that went like, and then I met Jesus and everything got better. But I already had faith in Jesus, like real faith in Jesus. I truly came to faith in Jesus when I was 16 years old. I was a junior in high school and it was very real. And I cared about what God thought about my life. I just didn't know where Jesus was supposed to be positioned. Like I thought he was sort of the finishing touches. You know, like, isn't it great we both believe in Jesus? That's great, you know, like the icing on the cake or something. It's like the paint and the shutters or something. I think a lot of us treat Jesus as though he's the roof. We build the things that we want to build, and when we get around to it, if we get around to it, we put Jesus on the top, and he kind of goes over like the roof. And then we get real upset when he doesn't act like the roof, when he doesn't like keep all the bad stuff out or keep things from rotting. We feel like he's the roof. And that's not at all who he says he is. Jesus says he's the bottom. He goes in first. And I just didn't know. I didn't know that everything I did with my life that wasn't built on him was gonna come down, but I sure lived it. And I want you to hear how radical this really was. Can you imagine, just for a second, just imagine. What if I came in here and I said, you guys, here's how life needs to work. And I know it's rough, but I'm gonna make this really simple for you. If you just do everything I say, you're gonna be fine. If you just continue to come back to Allie, and everything you do is exactly what I think the right thing to do is, then you're gonna be just fine. Can you imagine what you would think if I said, build your life on Allie? You would rightly get up and leave, and you should. If anyone ever says that to you, get up and leave. That's what Jesus said to them. That's the kind of radical thing that they were sitting in front of him that day at the Sea of Galilee listening to. He was saying, it's not your bullet points. It's not what you thought you were doing with your life. It's not even being good and moral and decent, because these were those kind of people. They were like us. These weren't like a group of religious extremists. They were people who genuinely wanted to hear what he had to say, who cared about God in their life, who had come and they were there. So he wasn't talking to some religious group of crazies, and he still said, anything that you do with your life has to be built on me. That is radical. And if we will just suspend for a moment the kind of crazy talk that that might have sounded like and consider that maybe that's the truth, then Jesus luckily went on to give us exactly the three rhythms that we need to end up standing on him. Going all the way through the surface to get all the way down to the rock, because he knew that it wasn't always gonna be summer. He knew that the hard packed sand wasn't gonna cut it. He wanted you all the way to him. And a well-built life comes in three practices over and over and over and over again. Jesus says them, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. He says, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, right there in black and white, three rhythms you could start today that will reach the rock. So what does he mean exactly? These rhythms come here and practice. They must all be there. They must be in order. I'm gonna convince you of that. And they must go on repeat in your life. The first one is come to me. Jesus said, all those who come to me, and he had to mean something other than physical, because they were there. They were probably sitting on rocks that look a lot like these. They're all over those kind of hills around the Sea of Galilee. And they were there, like physically present. So he had to mean something else. And if you read through the Gospels, Jesus actually says, come to me quite a bit when he talks to different people, and he invites them and even commands them to come to him. Coming to him is a wholehearted experience. It's not just physical, though it is physical. It's all of us. He means come emotionally, come intellectually, come with your whole self, your mind, your body, your strength, all of it. It's like an attitude that shows up in front of him and goes, okay, I'm here. Where do we go next? I was thinking about this as I got out of bed this morning. I could have gotten out of bed, taken a shower, and come here with my iPad to deliver a message. Or I could get out of bed and do this and say, I'm here. Can we do this together? I'm with you today. I want to do what you want to do. I want to be with you. That's coming. And who knows what would be different in our life if we showed up with that kind of wholeheartedness before Jesus. I know for sure if today you said one honest thing to God, a God that you actually acted like was there, it would be better than 20 years worth of practice prayers that you learned when you were a kid. When we seek him and we expect that he's there, our life starts to change, and we do it the same. Something massive could be happening for you, or something just really sort of mundane and daily. When I was 24 and my life started falling apart, coming apart at the seams, and I had no idea what I was doing anymore, I started coming back to Jesus. I started putting myself in his path and opening myself up to the places and the people and the things where I thought he might be. I just started to want to come around him a little bit more and a little bit more with my whole self, my real stuff. Or it could take the shape of like tiny little daily things. I was out with my daughter and a friend a couple weeks ago. They were horseback riding. It was fall break and she wanted to take a friend and do like a trail ride. So I went with them and we went for a trail ride and I pulled out my camera right at the end of the ride. We'd been out in the woods like, I don't know, literally over the river and through the woods. I mean, we'd crossed streams. We'd been out in the woods for probably an hour and a half. And I pulled my, I had only taken a car key and my phone in my two pockets. So I didn't have to carry anything. And I put my phone out because I had a nice angle on my daughter and her friend to snap a picture. And I noticed my car key was gone. And I was like, oh. My husband, I'm like an hour east. My husband was like 45 minutes west of where we live. And I thought I caught a glimpse of the other car key of the car I drove in the bottom of my purse, which was locked in my car. And I was like, oh, Lord. This is awful. You know, I have that like rush that you're like, this is what am I going to do? And it didn't take me long. And I said, okay, Jesus, you know where this key is. You can see it right now. I know you know where it is. And I'm on the last horse in the group, so nobody can hear me in the back. I was literally talking to him. And I'm like, I realize I may have to hike it back out. I gotta find this key. I know you can see it. Like, could you just help me? Like, really, please. I cannot make this up. 90 seconds, maybe 90 seconds after I talked to Jesus on my horse, the guide, who's like 10 horses in front of me, stops and jumps off her horse on the trail and turns around and goes, did somebody lose a car key? I was like, God? You know, I'm on the horse going, what if I hadn't asked? Would the same thing have happened? I don't know. But there I am on the back of the horse and I'm like, I'm gonna give this a shot. I think he's the guy that knows where this is. And lo and behold, I mean, you all, we can come to him in anything, like anything with our whole self, no matter what is going on. We just bring it to him. But I want you to notice the second builder. I want you to notice what in the parable is said about the second builder. It says, but the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The one who hears my words, what happened to the come part? What happened to the come to me? There's no coming to me. And therefore, there's no practice. We have expressions like this in our language. We say things like, her heart just wasn't in it. Well, how do you know that? You know that because she didn't put something into practice. So you kind of go, it was half-hearted. Her heart wasn't in it. When we show up to God, we show up wholehearted with our whole self. And the coming has to come first because it's the propeller that puts this whole thing in motion. And the second rhythm is here. We come so that we can be filled with something. We come so that we can hear his words. Jesus says, whoever comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice is like a man who's building on a foundation. We gotta hear his words. Now, if you are getting to know me at all, you know that it delights me when I get to stand up here and say, you gotta read your Bible. You've got to read your Bible. I so strongly believe in this as the linchpin. It's like the linchpin of these rhythms. You come so you can hear. You hear so you can practice. The Word of God is in the middle of these rhythms for a reason. We need to be filled with His words on a regular basis. And it really bums me out when I see statistics like I just saw a couple weeks ago that said 60% of Christians in the United States of America say that they open their Bible less than once a month. For our purposes today, I would say that means 60% of Christians have no hope of leading a life that's actually grounded on Jesus every single day. That is such a bummer. But in our community, actually, I've seen some great news. We're looking at what our app looks like. I don't know if you know this, but we have an app and you can actually read scripture in the app. And sometimes I think that helps when you get in there and read it with other people and you can kind of go like, we can do this. And you see what other people are reading and saying about what they're reading for the day and all that kind of stuff. It's really a good way to get into the practice of hearing the word of God on a regular basis, if that works for you. But our app numbers have been going up and up and up as far as scripture reading goes. This community is reading the Bible more and more and more, and I'm so glad to hear that. And you're gonna hear more and more and more about that over the coming year because of our belief that this is a core part of any life that can stand firm in the end. It must be rooted into the word of God. Brian talked about this in his video about people deconstructing their faith. If you're deconstructing your faith, I would say you're in the right place, but we can't just deconstruct. We have to actually be willing to rebuild. And the way we do that is to come to Jesus, to hear his word, and to put it into practice in our own life. I think sometimes we either just inherited the bullet points from someone that raised us very well intentionally even, or maybe we really never knew what we believed to begin with. Whenever I hear a story of somebody's faith that collapses, that's at least a question I have to ask. I wonder how much that person knew what they really believed to begin with. So many of us don't. And friends, we are living in a time and a culture, if you haven't noticed, where that just isn't gonna cut it. It's just not gonna cut it anymore. Unless we get all the way down to the rock and we actually know the words that Jesus spoke, the word of God in its totality, we will not stand. Your faith will not stand. But this is the best part. It's not the worst part. It's the best part. Because when you read the Bible on a regular basis, when you have rhythms of hearing in your life the word of God, something amazing starts to happen. Your ears open to the living word of God. When you read the written word of God, it like starts to come alive in you. It comes alive in your life. It's almost like you can hear it in your ears. Listen to what Jesus himself said about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of the word of God. Like when our Bibles are closed, you know, like when you're at work in a meeting, the Holy Spirit is perfectly capable of reminding you of the word of God. I was scrolling through Instagram the other day and like you do, don't judge me. I know you scroll through Instagram too. So, and I saw this like little meme and it was kind of an encouraging thing. I forget what exactly it said, but I thought, oh, that's nice. And then the next thought I had in my head was, that's the message of Titus. I just read the letter of Titus the day before and it was about how I can tell what you believe because of what you're doing. And it was something like that. And I scrolled through and I was like, yeah, that's right. And it wasn't like a Christian person saying it, but I was like, that is the truth. We have to be able to do that. Like, we have so many messages coming at us. We have to have some kind of foundation, some kind of truth that we're standing on, or we just adopt all the little pieces and parts and we roll it together in our own faith. I know that it's popular to say you're living your truth and I'm living my truth, but if you're trying to follow Jesus, you don't get to do that. You get to live his, period. And so we have to have these rhythms of hearing what that even is. We come so that we can hear, and we hear, we can't stop there. We hear so that we can put it into practice in our life. The mistake of the builder who built without a foundation is that he did not practice. He was hearing the word of God, but he actually wasn't putting it into practice. I told you why I think that is. I think it's because he didn't come. He never brought his whole heart. But for whatever reason, he actually had access to truth. He just never put it into his life. He never put it into practice. If we want to be well built, we got to get all the way through these rhythms. We come to him, we hear his word, and we put it into practice. It's like the final dig. Jesus says of the guy that laid a foundation, that he dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When we practice what he's saying, we're digging. We're trying to find the rock. And that's why I like the word practice. The essence of that word is just do it. Like I could say, Jesus said, hear my word and do it. And that would be accurate. But I like the word practice because it just kind of, it feels more inviting to me. It feels like, relax. You don't have to get it right all the time. Like if you thought you were doing it that way and it was really a slightly different way, okay, God's in it with you. He's so happy that you're in it. You don't have to get it right on the very, you know, every single day, all the time. That's why I like the word put it into practice. Practice putting his words into your life. And I'm going to tell you how you can recognize the opportunity to practice because it's always the same. The opportunity to practice where these rhythms are always going to lead you is to a risk. I believe that God has a risk sitting in front of you right now, and I think it fits under the heading of either come or hear or practice. These rhythms are always going to present risks in front of you, and it's so counterintuitive, right? Because what we want is we want this. We want to know God. We want to know that we're on solid ground. We want a life that makes sense, that works well, that's well-built. And weirdly, in the kingdom of God, the way that you actually get there is through risk, where we hear what he says and we don't just go like, okay, I'll make that my next religious bullet point, but we actually try it. And we're pretty averse to this. I gotta tell you, we're really pretty averse to this. I found this out when I took my son, who's now like a full-grown human. He's now, I call him large person. He's now a like full-size man. But this is when he was a wee little guy and I thought, this is gonna be fun. We're gonna go zip lining. And so we were at this camp place and there were tandem zip lines. You could go with somebody kind of side by side. So we climb up, we sign all the things, we take our turn, we climb up. And he's excited, you know, we're doing it together. And it looks super fun because we'd been watching everybody whiz by. And it was a pretty good sized zip line, not like a, you know, not like a kiddie one, you know, a big one, a real one. So we climb up and he clips me to my line and then he goes to clip my son and he freaks out. Like freaks out. I don't want to do this. I don't want to jump. It was like the, you have to jump off the platform. Like you're going to have to jump. And there's no other way to do it. Not a stiff wind going to blow you off that thing. You're going to need to jump. And so I do all my best parenting moves. Buddy, it's going to be amazing. You know, I try the positive talk and then I'm like, listen, we're doing this, you know, and I do all the tough love, you know, you can do it. And then I'm like, you're brave and awesome. And none of it's working. So we let the teenage girls that were behind us in line, we let them up and they go. And I'm thinking, this is good. He'll watch them. And sure enough, they were awesome. They jump off and they're woo, you know, and they did it great. And I was like, that was so fun. Look, you know, and he's like, uh-uh, hard pass. So now I have a decision to make because I know, and you know, when you climb down, there's implications to that too, right? And they're not good. And so I'm standing there and I'm like, okay, parenting, goodness, what do I do? What do I do? I'm not running a parenting seminar here. So I'm gonna tell you what I did. It's just what I did. I'm not saying it's what you should do. I said to the guy, okay, here's the plan. We're not leaving this platform unless it's on a zip line. So you're gonna get me, and then you're gonna go over there, and I don't care what that kid says, you're gonna put him on the line. And he's like, what? And I was like, that's what's gonna happen here. I was like, we are ziplining today. And my son is like, I don't wanna do it. And I'm like, I'm done here, we're done. And so the guy puts him on the line and I said, I'm gonna count to three. And I'm still trying to be encouraging. And Bud, this is gonna be awesome. I'm gonna count to three, one, two. And I look at him and I'm like, if he doesn't jump, you push him. Three. And he has to push my son off the platform. And I'm like, 2 seconds later, thank the Lord. 2 seconds later, he's going, this is amazing. And he's like, and don't tell Dad I cried. He's yelling at me from the other zip line. And you guys, if I could push you off the platform, I would do it. I would do it to you too, because I know at the end, you're gonna get some rock. Because I know that God is never going to let you down. We just sung about his faithfulness. And he is a rock for you. And on the way, yeah, it's terrifying sometimes. And yeah, it's an awesome ride sometimes. And at the end, your feet are gonna land on a rock. And you can't be talked out of it. You're gonna own those experiences with Jesus, the ones that I've been through in my life where I had to jump and maybe it was even bigger than I thought. You will never talk me out of what I've experienced of God. Your faith will be your faith because you lived it. And I want that so badly for you. I think that there's a risk sitting in front of you right now. I think maybe some of us, it's a come to Jesus kind of risk. It's maybe for the first time in 10 years, you're gonna talk to him like he's really there. Maybe you're ready to be baptized and you're ready to follow. You're ready to be a part of his family. You're ready to come to him in a brand new way. I don't know what it is, but some of us need to come, like wholeheartedly come. And some of us need to hear. I think a lot of us, we would like the benefits of reading the Word of God, but we just aren't really willing to rearrange our lives to do it. Do it. The thing that you're gonna miss out on because you make time for that, you are gonna get it back in spades in rock under your feet. And a lot of us, maybe even more right now because we're coming out of the journey here, a lot of us might be even more keenly aware of some things that God has given us and trusted to us that we're sitting on that we could actually be putting into practice. And sometimes those things like sit in the back of your mind and you're like, I know I should, I need to. Do I need to? Can I really do that? Would I really do that? You need to put it into practice. If not, you won't land on the rock. You won't get all the way down to the rock, and that's what we need because we're always gonna live a life over and over and over again that is filled with trouble, and Jesus knew it, and he told this parable because the parable is the truth. Let me say that again. This parable is not a nice story. This parable is the truth about how life works. Anything that we're building that is not on Jesus will go down in the end. And the way that we get down to Jesus is we come to him and we hear his word and we put it into practice every single day. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for how true it is to our life experience. Thank you for the depth of it. And thank you for the strength of it that we can stand on. Help us to come to you, to hear your word, and to put it into practice in our life today. Amen.
Hey, thanks for listening. For all things Still Standing, head over to theallypatterson.com. You can find my new book, How to Stay Standing, as well as other resources, including articles, Bible studies, and all kinds of resources just for you. No matter where you listen to podcasts, would you leave us a rating? Maybe even a written review? It helps others find this podcast, and we want to help as many people as possible bring hope and courage into the middle of life's storms. If you want to connect more with me, you can find me on Instagram or Facebook at The Allie Patterson. Still Standing is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.